this episode during Holy Week, the week that leads up to Easter, on the day that's known as Maundy Thursday. And it takes that title, it's thought, because Jesus says in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you. And the Latin word for a commandment is mandatum. Mandate, we get our word from that. A new commandment. Love one another. Now, of course, love is not a new commandment. What was new is what Jesus adds to it. Just as, in the same way that I have loved you, love one another. What's new is that in Jesus, we see a new picture of love, and the love at his heart is the willingness to give yourself. And John is overwhelmed by this. Folks have pointed out in the early chapters of John 1 through 12, the word Zoe, life, occurs 50 times, and light, phos, occurs 32 times. The word for love occurs, I think, only 6 times in those chapters. But at the end of John, in the last 5 chapters, over and over and over, that word for love 31 times. This is the heart of God. And on Maundy Thursday in John chapter 13, Jesus meets together with his disciples. Quite famously, there's so many beautiful words written about this scene. I just want to reflect on it with you today. I want to invite you to reflect on it on this Maundy Thursday as you get ready for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. One writer, Severian of Gabala, in the early church, wrote this about this scene of Jesus washing his disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday. He who wraps the heavens in clouds wrapped round himself a towel. He who pours the water into the rivers and pools tipped water into a basin. That he before whom every knee bends in heaven and on earth and under the earth knelt to wash the feet of his disciples. And when Jesus is doing these things, he is not disguising who God is. He is revealing who God is. And so we invite him now to come to us, to be present with us, to love and cleanse and change us on this Maundy Thursday. Here's how John describes it, John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew. Now, in a very important sense, Jesus was not just a victim in this moment. He was engaging in this. He understood. He and his Father were yet in charge. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the idea is not just at the end he loved them. It's not even just that he kept loving them to the end. It's that he gave the ultimate expression of love. John uses the same word here, a form of it, that Jesus uses on the cross when he said, "It is finished. I love them." All the way. That's the love God has for you. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And John here uses the word paradidomi, which means to hand over. Henry Nouwen writes often and beautifully about how although Jesus was a very active person and traveled and taught and healed and trained his disciples, the ultimate contribution that he makes in life is not what he does, but it is what is done to him. He is handed over and he offers himself. He willingly suffers. He gives himself in self-sacrificial love. And I think about so many who are part of our little community, the Fellowship of the Withered Hand, like that man in the synagogue who had the withered hand and was willing to have his brokenness and weakness revealed. I think about a friend who has a daughter struggling with an addiction that would do anything that could change it, but is not in control of that, or as a friend whose marriage, it looks like, is falling apart, would do anything to stop that, but can't, or a friend who had so many dreams in life has been diagnosed with very, very severe disorder that has disabled many, many things. I would love to be able to be in control of that, but can't. But that does not mean that for any of us, our ability to live in and in some strange way join our sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus, as Paul puts it. Participate in the sufferings of Jesus lies available before us. That is part of the wonder and mystery of the kingdom and the fellowship of the withered hand and the cruciform cross-shaped life. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. An extraordinary story. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, what's striking here is the sequence or the order. As you may well know, back in the ancient world, foot washing was an important act of hospitality. It was done when you came in the door. It was done when you first entered a room. And it was a very menial task. So it was given to slaves. In fact, if you were Jewish and you were a slave, you didn't actually have to do it. There is, folks who write about this, right? Simply no example in ancient literature of a superior kneeling down and washing the feet of his servants. Jesus is the first to do this. And what's striking here is he doesn't do it when they first come in the door. John quite deliberately says it was after the meal had begun. While the meal was going on, Jesus does this. Why? Because he wants it to stick. He wants it to get their attention. He wants them to never forget this moment. So he waits till the meal is going on, and then he humbles himself because he knows his disciples and you and me, our mind always tends to run towards what's in it for me, what can I get, how will I be served? Many years ago, when our oldest daughter, Laura, was maybe in kindergarten or first grade, we were out. I was showing her how to ride a bike, and I had a Band-Aid on my arm, and she said, "How did you get that?" And so I explained to her, I had just had a physical exam, including getting blood drawn, in order to get life insurance. And she was always quite a feeler, as I am. And so I thought, well, this would be a moment to get a little love. And I said, "Yeah, Daddy had a physical exam to get life insurance. And what that means is if something happens to your daddy, if Daddy dies, then you will get $250,000. You'll be taken care of." And her face got real still and her eyes got real round. And she said, "A piece?" She was doing the math already. That redheaded girl that you all think is so sweet and kind, and she is, but that's just the human heart, and Jesus knows it. So he washes the feet of his disciples, and then he says, "Now a new command I've given, what I have done for you, you do for one another." And Peter, you might remember, says, "No, Lord, don't do this." And Jesus says, "Well, it is necessary for you to be washed." You don't understand it yet. You don't understand it now. Now, of course, Peter understood what foot washing was about. He understood what serving was about. But what Jesus was explaining is this is a little parable in a sense of the whole mystery of the incarnation where he takes off the robes of splendor of heaven, of power, and takes on a servanthood life that then gets fully expressed in the cross. This is from Theo Bruner's commentary on John on this particular passage. "From heaven to earth and space, from eternity to weekend and time, from deity to humanity and genre, from cosmic sovereignty to common towel and ministry, we see once more in Jesus what is going on from incarnation to passion. As in the beginning of the gospel, we went from God to flesh, so now as we begin the passion, we go from head to foot. The foot washing symbolizes, in a literally pedestrian yet sublime way, the deep descent of God to even to the feet of human beings to serve and rescue." See, that's what surprised everybody. He is the pedestrian Messiah. That little word pedestrian means not just to travel on foot, but often to not be very special or exciting or extraordinary. Dictionary talks about an example of it, people who were disappointed in their pedestrian little lives, as people were disappointed in the pedestrian little Messiah. He had no beauty or attraction that we should be drawn to him, the prophet Isaiah says. Herod wanted him to, in Luke 23, do some miracles, and he did not. He was just pedestrian, Herod thought. But that's telling us something deeply about our God, our pedestrian God, our God who comes to be with us, to walk alongside of us, to serve, to give himself, to offer himself, ultimately expressed in the cross. Loved his own to the end, loved you to the very end. So now we enter into that way of life. Today, just reflect on how much that God loves you, that pedestrian God. And if your life looks kind of pedestrian, kind of not real extraordinary, not real flashy, do not despair, because we follow a pedestrian Messiah, a foot-washing Messiah. So today, in just little ways, is there's an opportunity, just ask that question, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I help? And know he's right there with you. That's the story of Maundy Thursday. That's the story of the pedestrian Messiah who travels from heaven to a cross and then back again out of his great love for you and me.
You've been listening to Become New with John Ortberg, where you can receive 10 minutes of daily teaching about the person you're becoming. If you like what you're hearing, you can head on over to our website, becomenew.com, where John has over 700 10-minute teachings on the person you're becoming, cataloged in 20 different series covering a range of topics you might be interested in. If you'd like to receive the emails that go along with each episode that include extra resources and discussion questions, you can let us know at becomenew.com/subscribe. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, there's a team of us who meet each weekday to pray for listeners just like yourself. You can send your specific request to us at the number 855-888-0444. I'm glad you're here, and we'll catch you next time.